All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28. I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I'll just read down to verse 6. And you follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one right in front of you in the hymn rack. And you may feel free to use that. All right, Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament. And chapter 28 is right after 27. All right, even in John's world. All right, let's look at verse 1, please. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now these keepers were the soldiers that Pilate commissioned to safeguard the tomb. All right, they had their responsibility was to make sure no one got in and took our Lord's body, and so they were as dead men. They were just laying there, scared to death. All right, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the place where the Lord lay. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of your wonderful word. And we thank you, Father, so much for these verses that tell us about the resurrection of our Savior from the grave. And Father, I pray that you will just give us spiritual ears this morning that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So Father, bless. I need your blessing as I speak this morning, and I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable and help me today. But Father, I also want to pray for our folks as they listen, and I pray that you will help us all to give our best attention for the next few minutes, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In these first six verses, we find described for us the account of Mary Magdalene and the other woman whose name was Mary, who was the mother of James the Less, not James the brother, half-brother of the Lord, but her name was Mary as well. And they come to the tomb in the early hours of that resurrection morning. And their story is recorded for us here by Matthew. The angel of the Lord had come down out of heaven and had rolled the stone away from the tomb. Now, he did not do that to let the Lord Jesus out. The Lord Jesus had already resurrected. He did that in order to let the disciples and these women in so they could see that the Lord Jesus had indeed resurrected just as he said he would. Now, when he rolled that stone away, we're told by Matthew that the angel was sitting. Now, think about this. The angel is sitting on the stone, you know, casually. I mean, it's just like he's waiting on somebody to come. Well, he is waiting on someone to come. He's waiting on these women to come, and then they're going to run back and tell the disciples, and then the disciples are going to come. And so I think it's just so casual. It just actually blows me away. I just sit there and think about it. You know, these men were scared to death, but notice the women were not afraid. All right? Could it be that they were used to angels being around whenever the Lord was there? I don't know, but I do know that they did not seem to be afraid. Now, this angel that came down had the fresh glow of heaven upon him. And Matthew said that he was as bright as a streak of lightning, and that his garments were as white as the snow. Now, this whole scene would have been so frightening. And as I just mentioned, the guards, they fell down. They could not, it scared them witless. They just were frozen in fear. But when the women arrived, The angel comforted their hearts immediately, told them not to fear, and he said to them, if you'll look carefully at verse 5, the angel said to the ladies, I know that ye seek Jesus. He told them that he knew why they were coming to the grave. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, folks, can you just imagine how thrilled the two Marys must have been when they leaned over, looked inside that tomb, and saw that the Lord Jesus was not there, the only thing that was there was his collapsed grave clothes, the cloth that they had used to wrap around his body for burial. And also notice, neither one of these ladies were afraid. They just went right in. They were not afraid of what they were seeing. They were not afraid that the angel was there, even though he was shining like the lightning, and even though he was radiating that glory, they were not afraid. And so inside the tomb they went. They went inside and saw for themselves that the Lord Jesus was indeed resurrected from the grave. He was not there, just as the angel had said. Oh, the grave clothes were there, but there was no sign of his body. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, I want us to think about this place where the Lord lay. The highlight of every trip to Israel as a tourist is to stop by what they call Gordon's Calvary. There was this English soldier whose name was Gordon, and he came looking for the place where our Lord was crucified and buried. He did not buy the Catholic version of that, because it's not on a hill, for one thing. But he did not buy the Orthodox place where they say that the Lord was buried. So he came in search for the borrowed tomb. And as he searched around, of course, he took the scriptures, and the Bible told him that in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And so he commissioned some fellows to help him, and they started digging around, and sure enough, they uncovered a garden. And they followed the leads on that until they came to a place where it was obvious that it had been dug out. And it was there that they went inside. The stone was not there. And it's still not there. I have asked every guide we've ever had, why is the stone not here? And the answer was, is always the same. They cannot find it. It's not here because he is not here. And it is an eternal reminder that the Savior is no longer dead and in this tomb. He is alive. He came out of that grave and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. But folks, the highlight of every trip is to go by what is called Gordon's Calvary, and you can stand just inside the gate of the old city, and you can look across the highway, and there is this little knob, this little knoll up there, and when you look at the face of it, it still today looks like a skull. Yes, it's been eroded over 2,000 years, but not that much. And when you stand and look at it, especially from across the street, inside the gate, you can see clearly that it is a place that looks like a skull. And then just around from there, and only about 200 yards away, maybe at most, there is a place where they found a grave, and they actually, Mr. Gordon, had it tested, the soil tested in there, and the report came back that no one ever decayed in that place. Nobody ever decayed in that place. There is no sign that anyone was buried there and the body went back to the dust. No sign whatsoever. Well, that only stands to reason because, as the angel said, come see the place. He's not here. He has risen as he said. Now, I want us to think about the place. I want you to notice just a couple of quick things about the place. First of all, I want you to notice that it was a place of gladness and joy. It was a place of gladness and joy. Now, most of the time, a grave or a place of burial for a loved one is not associated with gladness, joy, happiness, enthusiasm. No, most of the time, the grave is a place of sorrow and heartache and despair. You see, the sepulcher is usually associated with sorrow and gloom. Around a grave, it is very seldom, if ever, that we see singing and joy on the hearts of those who are saying goodbye to their loved one. But here, in this case, there is joy, shining joy, and gladness on the face of the two Marys. And I'm sure when the angel gave the invitation for them to come inside and see, they were, those two ladies literally just bounded inside, and I'm sure that they were smiling from ear to ear as they heard the angel say, "He is not here, he is risen." You see, when we are summoned to a grave, we know that it will be sadness. We know that it's going to be a time of sadness. When we are summoned to the grave, we make sure that we have tissues or a clean handkerchief or whatever the case may be. For as long as anyone has kept track, it's a place of sorrow and sadness. It always is. But it was not the case here. Why? Well, because he is risen, as he said. You see, that replaces the sorrow and gives joy for our hearts. You know, it's the grave seems so final. It just seems like that's it. I mean, it's over. But listen, for a child of God, that's not the case. Amen. Why? Because our Savior resurrected from the grave. His life assures my life. Life eternal through him. And so it seems only fitting. You know, another interesting thing. When we go to the cemetery, now I want you just to kind of notice around, and everybody's got their Easter clothing on today. Isn't that sweet? Huh? Yeah, we've all got our spring colors on, don't we? Huh? Yeah. Why? Why? Time of gladness. Amen. This day signifies a day of hope. Yes. This day signifies a day of joy. But for as long as anyone has kept track, women and men wear black garments to go to a viewing of or of a body or to visit a grave. I mean, it seems only fitting that the darkness of death should be reflected in us by wearing the darkest of colors to symbolize our grief. And here is the strange thing about this entire scene. Because when the angel wanted to make these women rejoice and make them happy and make them glad, he invited them to come inside the tomb and to investigate it thoroughly. Come in and see. Come and see. So he told them, this is not a place of sadness. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. You know, he did not drive them from the garden. God had to drive Adam and Eve from the garden. Do you remember that? And I'm sure as Adam and Eve were walking out of the Garden of Eden that they looked over their shoulders, brokenhearted and full of sadness and despair, and looking back at the paradise that they had been expelled from, and looking over their shoulders to see the mighty seraphim that guarded the way to the tree of life. They had been expelled. But in this situation, after the Savior has paid for Adam's sin, the angel says, come in and see. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. You see, this angel did not bid them to try to forget their sorrow or just to go out and face their duty in the world. No, instead, he quieted their fears and cheered their hearts and turned their sorrow into overwhelming joy by asking them to investigate for themselves and see that he is not here. Folks, you have to agree with me that this is one of the strangest episodes in history. It really is. To exaggerate its uniqueness is impossible. It is the only time in all the centuries when a grave is the triumphant argument for gladness. But it is in this case. You know, we sometimes make pilgrimages to where soldiers and captains have fought their battles. We sometimes will go to see where a president was born or where a president was buried or where some famous document was written. But the angel of the Lord, and it brought the morning with it, said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Every time I go in that place, I think of that verse. And it just thrills my soul And you know what, folks? I've been over there, 16 or 17 times. And every time I go in, he's still not there. I can attest to that. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Second thing I want you to see, it also is a place that was empty. It was an empty place. When they went inside, wait a minute, they stood on the outside at a distance, no doubt, and watched as Joseph and Nicodemus carried his body inside the tomb. And as they rolled the stone in front of the door, those ladies stood over there and watched that happen. But now the angel says, come in, see for yourselves. But he is not here. He is risen. And sure enough, when those ladies walked inside, he wasn't there. Oh, the grave clothes were there, you know, the swaddling clothes. You remember when he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Do you know what swaddling clothes are? They're grave clothes. They're the old rags, the old t-shirts, you know, the old stuff you throw in the corner. And they saved them so that when someone passed, they could wrap them around their bodies. And when they wrapped them, they would then bring the spices and anoint the wrapping so as to hold down the stench of decay. So I want you just to keep that in mind, folks. The Lord was not there. The wrapping was still there. And it was no doubt still in the shape of a body, only collapsed. And when they walked in, they knew that he was not there. I think because it had collapsed. They did not loose him and let him go as he did for Lazarus. He did not have to be loosed. He resurrected in his own power. Isn't that awesome? But the angel knew why that tomb was empty. You see, Pilate placed a seal upon it, forbidding anyone from opening the tomb. He sent armed soldiers to guard the entrance so that no one could come and steal the body of our Lord and then claim a resurrection, or the disciples claim a resurrection and get more of a following. So he sent the soldiers. But boy, when the angels showed up, boom, they were scared to death. And when the ladies walked inside, the tomb had not been rifled. No one had been there. No one took its priceless treasure. No, the angel knew why the tomb was empty. The angel said in verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen. That's why he was not in there. He had risen from the grave. Come and see for yourself. He's not here. Come and see. And the ladies walked in and saw for themselves. I read a story this week about an Indian, a fellow from India, an Indian missionary. He was a missionary to his own people. His name was Sadhu Sundar Singh. And he was a theologian and a preacher from years gone by. And he told a story about a friend of his. And this friend of his went to Saudi Arabia and he visited the tomb of Muhammad. And while he was there, someone told him, his guide said, the bones of Muhammad lie here. And he kind of, that sounded weird. But then the next year, he took another trip, and he went to France, and the guide took him by Napoleon's tomb, and the guide said, the bones of the little general, Napoleon, are here. But then the next year, he took another trip. And he went to Jerusalem. And he went to Gordon's Calvary. And the guide that was showing him around walked him over to the borrowed tomb, to the empty tomb, and showed him the place and said, "This is where the Lord Jesus was buried. But you will notice, sir, he is not here, for he is risen as he said." And that's when that fellow realized that salvation could only be through the one who had victory over death and the grave. You see, folks, these ladies were thrilled beyond measure because the tomb was empty. As they walked in, they could see the grave clothes just lying there, but not his body. Not his body. The grave was empty. The master was not there. In the power of an endless life, Jesus had risen from the grave. Victory was his. The empty grave thrown open for inspection. Man, that lies at the back of all Easter gladness, does it not? Life brings gladness and joy. Death brings sadness and sorrow. The two Marys got instant gladness, though, and joy, because they went in and they saw an empty tomb. His rising satisfies the human heart, which needs more than just the inspiration of a memory. No, the empty grave shows us that we have a living Savior, a living friend, and it all springs from the investigation of the grave. So, for once, the grave was not a place of sadness and sorrow, but it was the home of song, not of tears, but of song. It is the birthplace of a triumphal joy that has made music for our souls, even in the darkest hours. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Then thirdly, I want you to notice it was a place that was orderly. Orderly. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Well, the grave clothes were still there. They were still there. They were still wrapped. And the napkin was folded and laying separately, John tells us in his gospel. But the grave clothes were still there. Think about that. Think about that. It was as if the Lord it was not as if the Lord had awakened and then somehow or another sat up and then somehow or another got his arms out and unwrapped himself. No, they were still laying there, but he was not there. He was resurrected. If he had gotten himself up, don't you think, you know, and that's what liberals say. Oh, he wasn't dead. He wasn't really dead when they took him down from the cross. He wasn't really dead. You know, you're either dead or you're not. You know? And hey, they buried him, did they not? That's what you do when folks die. You bury them. All right? So, he wasn't really dead. And they call it the swoon theory. You know? He was just passed out from all the exposure. And then when they took him inside that cool tomb, it shocked him and he woke up. Oh, baloney. You can believe that garbage if you want to. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And on the third day, he resurrected from the grave. When the girls went in there, The grave clothes were still there. They were not strewn all over the tomb as if there had been a great struggle going on in there. No, they were still wrapped in the shape of a body, and it was as if he had simply just passed right through them, which is what he did. Do you not remember when he appeared to all the disciples in the upper room? The Bible says that he passed through the closed doors and the locked shutters, and he appeared in their midst. The point is, folks, there is a majestic, unruffled calm about this whole matter. Oh, there was a storm around the cross 3 days earlier. There was a sense of desperation 3 days earlier. However, drowning men usually struggle to get to the surface, don't they? Men who are entrapped usually fight to gain their freedom. But the grave of the Lord Jesus showed no signs of struggle when those women went inside. It was instead a picture of order and calm. In John's gospel, we are told the napkin was folded and had been laid in a separate spot, not with the linen clothes, the swaddling clothes. On my very first trip to Israel, very first trip I ever took, we had a guide who was a tank commander in the 6 Days War who got saved as they were taking the Golan Heights. When he saw what the Lord did in that battle, and he got saved. He called out. When he spoke, everybody in his brigade heard what he said. And when he saw them taking their little old pea shooter tanks that America had given them, and that the Syrians up on top of the mountain had their Soviet tanks, but they couldn't shoot down because they had built. The Israelis had built a little road up there, and it was they couldn't get their tanks angled. So Michael said, "Watch carefully. They're going to have to expose their bellies, and when they do, you fire." And so they had these little pea shooter tanks, seriously. And so when they exposed their bellies, Michael yelled, "Fire!" And they all started to fire. And Michael told me personally, that when those shells hit those tanks, it was like they melted. And when Michael saw that, he cried out and he said, "Jesus is the Lord. God is protecting Israel, and Jesus is his son." And all the tanks are going, "Michael, have you lost your mind? Michael, what is wrong with you?" And Michael just kept saying it. "Glory to God. Look at what the Lord is doing for his people." And those tanks just disintegrated up there. Now, during the millennium, we'll all go over there and I'll show them to you, okay? You'll see some of them. They left some of them up there as a memorial. But Michael was ever teaching. And we went to this, get ready for it, Italian restaurant in Israel. We went to this Italian restaurant for lunch. It was nice. And as we sat down to eat, the food was coming and everybody was talking and laughing and having a good time. And I leaned over to Michael and I said, "Where's the restroom?" He said, "Right back there." I said, "Okay, I see it." So I got up and left. Well, I took my napkin and I just threw it down beside my plate. And I went to the restroom, came back. And when I came back, my napkin had been folded and it was laying at the head of my plate. And I looked down and I said, "Did you fold my napkin?" He said, "No, the waiter did." I said, Why? He said, all right, remember John 20? I said, yeah, I know John 20. He said, all right, you remember that story where the grave clothes were laying there, but the napkin was folded and set apart? I said, yeah. He said, when you got up, you threw your napkin down. That is a sign that you're finished. You're not coming back. So he can take your plate. But when he came to take your plate, I told him, no, he's a dumb American. He'll be back. He'll be back. So the guide folded my napkin and laid it at the head of the plate. And that's a sign to that waiter, if you leave your plate to go to the restroom or whatever, if you lay that napkin folded at the head of your plate, it's a sign to him that you're coming back. So when the girls walked in and they saw that grave clothes were undisturbed, but there was nobody there, but they saw the napkin was folded and laid at the head. That was a sign. I'm not here, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And folks, he is. You know, it could be any day now. Are you ready? All right, let me say one more thing. We noticed that the tomb was happy. It was joyful. We noticed the tomb was empty. We noticed the tomb was orderly. But let me say one more thing and I'll close. The tomb was fragrant. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But think about it. They poured the spices on the body before they ever put the body inside the tomb. And then they would have come back and put more spices on it to hold down the odor. And the women came for the purpose of re-anointing his body with the spices. Spices would have been strewn all around that body. The odor of those spices would have filled the tomb. You know why? Because nobody decayed in that tomb. That's why. You would not have smelled the stench of death. What you would have smelled was a beautiful, beautiful odor of spices. Amazing, isn't it? You say, well, Pastor, what's the point? Well, here's the point, folks. It is full of beautiful suggestiveness that he had left his tomb fragrant. For now, through him who died for us and who rose again, there is something of a beautiful fragrance in our nostrils. Something so sweet, something so endearing, something so wonderful to breathe in. And that fragrance is the hope which the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives to us who believe in him as our Savior. You see, folks, his victory over death and the grave assures me of my victory over death and the grave. Should I grab my chest right now and fall over? And I'm not planning on doing that. And if I do, no mouth to mouth. All right, y'all got that? Just let me die. Karen, you can help me. But you keep these buzzards away from me, all right? But if I should grab my chest and fall over, don't weep for me. To be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. Don't weep for me. But I'm not planning on dying. I'm planning on going up in the rapture. I've always wanted to fly. I've always wanted to fly. I mean, since I was a little kid, I wish I could fly. Just buzz around. Wouldn't that be nice? Fun? I want to go up and meet him in the air. And because he resurrected, that assures me of mine. Do you know him this morning? Is he your Savior? If he's not, you better trust him. He's the only way. So you better put your faith and trust in him. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment, please. Father in heaven, you know our needs today better than we know ourselves. Father, you know every need that we have. And I pray that you will bless what's been said here today. Help folks to realize that there is no other way. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And Father, I pray that you will help folks to see that they need to trust Christ as their Savior. Church is not going to cut it. Church is not going to save anybody. Baptism can't save. Giving money can't save. Only the Savior can save. So, Father, I pray that you will help us this morning to see our need of the resurrected Lord Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I wonder how many people here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. There's absolutely no doubt I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your personal Savior? You say, Preacher, if I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know it beyond a shadow of doubt. I know it. Amen. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Well, that looked like everybody, but I could have missed someone. A lot of people here this morning. So let me ask this question. Is there anybody here this morning who will say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't know for sure, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. And I wish you'd pray for me. I need the Lord, and I know it. So pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you today? I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody like that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that? All right. Father, you know our needs this morning, and I pray you'll bless and meet the needs that we have. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will bring conviction to our hearts and help us to see that we need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen.